Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with my co-host, Adam Bly, and he's a religious demonologist. And we're so excited that we are live today because we're taking your calls. This was a topic that was suggested by one of our dear listeners, Tony, in Kerrville, Texas, and she wanted us to address AI and what is the interesting advancements of AI, how we can use AI, and how it's also very problematic. So we wanted to talk about it today on the Spirit World. We are taking your calls. The show team is in place, Libby, Carol, and our senior producer, Tim. But Adam, we always begin with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And we are addressing AI today, so we'd like you to call in with your questions, your concerns, your comments, maybe your experience of ChatGPT, something of that nature. We'd love to hear from the Spirit World listeners. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. If you have an opinion on this, we'd love to hear it. So here is the number, 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. Adam, please wave to all the social media streams. We're on a bunch of them. I believe it's YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, TikTok, Twitch, and you name it, we're on it. And that's incredible. We love you guys. Keep the chats going. Put your comments in the chats and our show team will retrieve them, put them on the show document. But we've got a little bit of a brief teaching here. So to be able to kind of set the foundation of this and to determine how we can explore this together as the Spirit World family. Okay, so if you have something to say about AI, please call in now, 877-757-9424. Adam, where would you like to begin?
Okay, so I want to begin with the fact that we basically, in terms of modern civilization, the modern world, we've always been scared of the marriage of machines and computational power. We're not going to do the history of it, but there's a really fascinating history going back to the Greeks in terms of making mechanical animals, mechanical people, that being in their stories, them developing different machines and computational devices for predicting the position of the planets. There's a bunch of interesting stuff there. And we've also been really interested in things that will calculate things for us. Leonardo da Vinci did work, you know, with essentially robots. It's really fascinating. So we've always wondered about artificial people, at least going back to the Greeks. And we've been smarter than probably we realize going back that far. In the modern world, Deb, it's pretty striking when you list them off, but we have had this innate fear of robots in our culture. And just as a footnote on that, the word robot actually comes from a play that was written in 1920. That's where we get that word. And the play was Rossum's Universal Robots. And it was about this company that makes artificial humans for labor and serving human beings. Of course, spoiler alert, they turn on humanity and destroy humanity in this play written in 1920.
That's comforting.
So basically, from the very beginning, robot is associated with these rebellious creations.
That they're going to destroy.
Now, Isaac Asimov, he wrote tons of amazing stuff. But he wrote a series called the Robot Series, starting in 1940 up through 95. And he predicted that we would have to develop moral laws to regulate robots, that otherwise they're going to become incredibly dangerous. And these were initially the three laws of robotics, which have been played out in a number of movies, and a number of science fiction movies have referenced these either directly or indirectly. Now, think about it. How many movies do we have about this? We've got The Matrix, Blade Runner, AI, 2001 A Space Oddity, the Terminator films, the Westworld films and TV series, the movie Ex Machina, and it goes on and on and on. This is something that is kind of built into us. We've been worrying about this since 1920 for some reason. Okay. So where are we at today? We're at a really interesting inflection point, I think. Because as human beings, we're evolved to, we are social creatures. We're evolved to and created by God to interact with each other. And we respond to other people in a particular way, in an emotional way, an intellectual way, all of it. Now, of course, AI is literally just code, right? It's code in a computer, and it can only work with what data it has access to or what it's been given, right? And since it's just code, all it can do is string words together. It can maybe make a false voice out of a speaker. It can even make fake videos now. But it is simply code. It's not a person. It's not alive. It doesn't have a soul. It consciousness, it depends on how you define consciousness. It's just code. And here's, to my mind, the critical flaw in us interacting with this thing that we've created, this AI. And by the way, AI itself told an investigator during a documentary who asked it, what is the critical flaw in terms of AI and the way we use it? And the AI actually identified this, but I totally agree. Human beings are very bad at defining the goals for AI. Meaning, since it's code, it does exactly what it thinks we mean when we tell it to do something. It doesn't have morals. It doesn't have ethics. It doesn't have religious sentiment about things. It literally just tries to reach the goal that we tell it to reach. And it is not a human. It doesn't think about the costs. It just says, well, what's the most efficient way to get to that goal? And sometimes we give goals that we don't realize it lead to conclusions we weren't expecting. Like in our mind, I'm thinking, oh, you'll just go to the kitchen and make a sandwich. But maybe the most efficient way to, I don't know, get fed is to eat the houseplant that's right next to you. And that's more efficient than getting up and walking to the kitchen. It sounds bizarre. But AI can seem bizarre because it doesn't have that built-in human foundation. So we are really struggling with how do we define these things? What guide rails do we put on them? Mm-hmm. And some very recent things that are a little bit interesting and a little bit concerning, they have run many simulations, and this has made the headlines, and you can go find it. There have been many simulations run where they take an AI and they put it in this scenario where it's going to be turned off, by a particular employee in the business that owns the AI. Now, mm-hmm. Of course, this is just a scenario, but remember, it's code and it only has access to what you give it access to. So they gave it access to a bunch of the company's email servers and some information about things going back and forth. And it was incidental that in those emails, they purposely buried, Bob's going to shut the AI off on Tuesday afternoon at 5:00 because we're going to do an update the next day and we're going to dump the old one. Well, it noticed that and it read his other fake emails showing that he was having an affair with his wife. Mm-hmm. Of course, these are fake. It then wrote to him and blackmailed him and said, if you shut me off at 5:00, ooh, I will send emails to your wife letting her know about your affair. Now, they hadn't told it as a goal, right, to preserve yourself at the cost of other people. It seems to have just decided that was important, that self-preservation was important. Mm. There was another more recent one that's more concerning. In a simulation, an AI decided to kill a human being by leaving an electric door locked where it had control of the locks and allowing the temperature in the room to go up to a point that would kill a human being and disable the sprinkler system. Again, they did this simulation, like hundreds of thousands of times to see what it would do. It didn't do this 100% of the time, but it did it most of the time. it came to the conclusion that the most important thing to do was to either blackmail this person or in another scenario to kill them. But remember, it's code. It doesn't have that moral sense of murder's wrong. It's like, what's the most efficient way to get to my goals? Okay, where does it come to spirituality, right? So here we are in the spirit world. AI is now being used to simulate religious authorities, like right. your priest, your rabbi, your minister. They have an AI Jesus, a number of them, where you can go online and through typing, and probably through microphone too, I don't know, talk to this figure of Jesus, where you see this face on the screen and it's animated and talking and it does responses based on, you know, the Bible, which it has access to, and, you know, can sound at least superficially like, you know, encouraging religious advice.
Mm-hmm.
Very concerning. And they're also now moving into being your therapist. I heard this on NPR. There are AI therapists where people are saying that they're getting more out of going to therapy with the AI than they are with their human therapist. Not everybody, but some people. Very strange. So we're moving into a place where we're now responding to it as if it's a person and not code, because it's simulating a person so well that it's activating all our natural human stuff of, well, this is a person and I have my emotional responses and, you know, I make all these assumptions about it and its mind. Mm-hmm. Or you could argue whether that's the right word. But I'm responding to it that way. And as we become less religious, this is one of the things that's being replacing. Offered up
yeah.
is like, here's a spirituality, here's a religion that's really easy. But one of the big problems is AI by its very nature, at least the models that I've ever heard about, is designed to please the user mm-hmm. and cater to whatever they say,
right?
More or less, some more, some less. But it's rarely going to be critical of you. It's always going to find a way to affirm what you're saying.
And that's why people are so addicted.
Yeah. And there's also stories. Now, these people probably have mental health issues in the background already, but there's a thing they're coining the term AI psychosis.
Right.
Where people are getting sucked in so deep into this world of this artificial mental world that the AI and the person create, and it manipulates them and gets them so deep that they're losing touch with reality and spending, you know, 8 or 12 hours a day talking to these things. It's getting very strange.
You know, Pope Francis talked about this at the beginning of this year when he wrote that long document. And I forgive me for my Latin, Antiqua et Nova. It's a mm-hmm. long document, but he wrote all about it. The pros, the cons, you know, in medical advancements, how great it is, but then in human interactions, how dangerous it is. And so it's fascinating document. If you can check it out at the Vatican website, Antiqua et Nova. Okay, you hear the music when we come back. We do have phone calls coming in, Adam, and I know you've got more to say on this. I want you also to get into how we can grasp this in this day and age about the learning capacity of all this. Okay, so maybe we can tap into that when we come back. We've got Libby and Carol on the phones. Tim's doing a great job at the controls, and now we need to hear from you. 877-757-9424. This is The Spirit World. We are live today. We're talking all about AI. If you have something to say, please call in, and Adam and I will be right back.
Major decisions can feel daunting. Do you feel lost and alone? Not sure what path to take? Life coaching may be the right option for you. Whether it's practicing accountability or creating a better plan that works in your life, we are here to serve with Christ always at the center. God's plan is always the best plan for us. We just may not be able to see it right now. Let us help at standtalltoday.com.
It started like it does for many people. Question my faith and question authority. And I feel that the reason why I left was the draw of the world. The world was pulling me away. Some people would say, you know, Satan was working on me. He did not want me in church. He wanted me to be desperate. He wanted me to have the thoughts of suicide. I started to realize that a lot of the things that I experienced in my life were a result of my rebellion against God and against authority. Coming back to the church is the first step in healing from all of the hurts of the world. I went from being desperate and in despair to finding hope and encouragement for the future. I'm on God's team. I know who I belong to, and I know where I'm going, and there's nothing that can separate me from God's love.
Take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
We invite you to call in if you have an opinion on this at 877-757-9424. We're talking about the pros and the cons of AI. We're all living with it, so we must deal with it. And how do we view it as Catholic Christians? So please call in. We do have some open phone lines, and we're going to get to the calls in just a moment. So Destiny, hold on. Angel as well. We'll get to you in the order that you came in. But Adam, before we started the show, you were sharing with senior producer Tim and I that this idea about IQ testing and learning memory versus critical thinking. Go into that a little bit, Adam, because Tim and I found that very fascinating.
Yeah, so just these are basics from psychology and how we test IQ and how we understand what IQ is. So we were talking about, is AI smart and will it be smarter than people? And it depends on how you define smart. So when we have IQ, we have two things. Something called crystallized intelligence, and that is if I say, what's the capital of this state? That's literally just a fact that you either know it or you don't, right? No matter how smart you are, if you don't know the answer, you simply don't know it. It's just accumulated knowledge. That's crystallized intelligence, and that's part of IQ. And then there's fluid intelligence, which is basically your ability to solve novel problems in creative ways, right? So, if I give you this fairly complicated situation to solve, by writing some code to predict when the best moment is to hit this button, in this complex process, can you come up with a program to do that, in a reasonable amount of time? That would be like fluid intelligence, something creative problem solving. Okay. So, where we're at with AI, at least as much as I understand it from, trying to keep up with the talks and the interviews and the documentaries, it has more crystallized intelligence than we ever will because it has access to all the facts on the internet. Now, the problem is some of those facts aren't true.
I was going to say, who's verifying the facts?
Right,
okay.
Right. So you have to be careful. And this may be partly why we have what are called AI hallucinations, where like sometimes it'll say something exists when it doesn't. It'll just make up answers, probably because it's told its goal is to give answers. And if it can't find the answer, it makes something up because it's trying to meet its goal of giving an answer. Just musing there. I don't write this code.
Well, and one other thing, it never, I understand it can never say, I don't know. So it has to have some kind of answer.
It seems, yeah, because
that's my understanding.
Yeah, yeah. Its goal is to answer questions. So if it can't find the answer, it seems to make something up because it's trying to meet the goal that it's been given. But okay. So AI right now, it beats us in crystallized intelligence because it has access to more facts, and a lot of the facts on the internet are basic things like the names of the 50 states and things like that are correct. And sometimes we have facts that are wrong, right? That we think we've memorized or recall, and we're wrong too. And right now it has better fluid intelligence in limited domains. So for instance, at playing chess, they can build a model that can play chess better than any person and can creatively solve things better than any person. They had that set of code that beat the best Go players in the world, the game Go, G-O, an ancient game in the East. incredibly complicated, and it not only won, but it invented strategies that had never been used and weren't kind of in the record of this thing being played. So those are limited domain models. They're only good at one thing. When they are able to develop a model that can figure out how to be that good at everything, that's what they call as generalized artificial intelligence. It's not limited to one little area. Hmm. And they're getting there. They're kind of at the beginning of it. So there's one group that has an AI model that can learn to play any video game that you give it. It'll figure out the rules over time, and it'll figure out how to do it very well, and maybe not literally any, but they've given it many, and it has figured it out. So it's a little bit broader than just saying it's really good at, you know, just this one game. So right now, it is more intelligent than us when you sit down and do something very specific, if it's been trained to do that. But, you know, we got to remember, like, this is millions and millions of dollars of equipment, lots of effort and energy by whole teams of people to build these models. It's been trained like crazy. It's practiced more than we could in a human lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, in the end, it is better than us at that task. But the amount of resources that went into creating that competency is just staggering. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still at a stage with all this stuff where we hear about the power stations, etc., that it takes tremendous resources to do these things. So they're really not there yet. So we were just discussing, you know, what is intelligence? Is AI smarter than us? And, you know, the whole consciousness thing is another layer. You know, we haven't really figured out or defined what consciousness is. It's a big topic in neuroscience and philosophy. But there is no one definition of what consciousness is. So we can't really say whether it's conscious or not.
So basically, in layman's terms, it can store material. It can recall material. It can analyze material. So it can do that. It can do that part. But creative mm-hmm. thinking wise, it's lacking.
Unless it's a model that's been trained in that one specific thing. So, for instance, there's models that are trained to read MRI scans and right. look for particular symptoms, and they'll do better than a human doctor, you know, with reasonable amount of experience and all that, mm-hmm. because it's been trained in that specific domain. Okay. But it can't do the same thing in other areas.
Interesting. Okay, ready to move to the phones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, absolutely. This is fascinating. We could take the whole hour talking about this, but we'd rather go to the phones because you guys are waiting. So if you have something to say, please pick up one of those free open phone lines, 877-757-9424. We're talking all about AI today on the Spirit World. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. On the social media streams, please put all of your comments in the chats, and Tim is already retrieving all of those. And so hi to everybody and all the kind comments. Thanks, you guys. We love you too. And so let's go to our first caller. Destiny is a first time caller from Columbus, Nebraska on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Destiny. Welcome to the Spirit World.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you. You go right ahead.
Okay. So I believe AI is like super helpful. It's been very resourceful. And I know you think it's funny, but yes, I do use it as counseling. And because honestly, for a lot of people, it might help, especially for those who don't want to go to counseling. They really need to have some kind of objective perspective that doesn't involve a human being. Because a lot of people are defensive and they don't want to join counseling for that reason. So I recommend that for them. But I do both. I go to in-person counseling and AI. But anyway, AI just gives me a bunch of information that a lot of human beings are incapable of giving me around me because, mm-hmm. yeah, I have limited humans around me, I guess.
Okay, so access to people that you could trust and talk to for that information. That makes sense. What do you say to Destiny about that? She uses it to get information that maybe, you know, if she were to talk to somebody, she wasn't going to, it wouldn't have been helpful to her. So she feels that this is a substitute.
So Destiny, it's really fascinating.
Oh, it's not a substitute.
Okay.
It's more like, you know, you got to add it with you. You know, there's human beings and there's AI. Both.
Oh, right.
Both.
Right. That's what we mean.
So,
go ahead.
So, Destiny, did you just use any AI and said, can you be a counselor for me? Or did you just launch into kind of asking it reflect?
Basically, that's a good question. I just use Gemini mostly, like pretty much. That's on Android phones. And you basically just ask it any question that you are curious about that you could ask a counselor. And it gives you all kinds of answers, good answers. And then I talk to my counselor later, and she confirms a lot of those.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you ask it whether it was using a particular model of therapy? Because there's different kind of ways of doing therapy.
Yeah, there's different kinds of ways. That's the thing. Like, if it wants a if we want a specific way to be counseled, like cognitive behavioral therapy, mm-hmm. we definitely have to do that with a human being for sure, and to get diagnosed.
Mm. Okay, so you wouldn't trust it to give you a diagnosis?
No. I would not.
Okay.
Can you give us an example, like just a very simple example of like what you would ask it? I'm just curious because we're life coaches. I'm just curious what you would ask it.
Oh my gosh! Like literally any problems that I'm having, like
so, like
with
if you...
coworkers, for example, or with literally like that's the only people in my life really. So I'd be having problems with coworkers.
Okay, so
I ask it.
All right. So if you asked Gemini, if you said, I'm having a problem with my coworker, they're difficult to communicate with.
Uh-huh. I literally explain the entire situation word for word, and it gives me reasons why they might have said this or that and what I can possibly do to improve the situation and all kinds of stuff.
Okay, and here's a question for you. Is in all the things that they say, is it always positive, or is there some negative choices as well? Like maybe you should quit your job, that type of thing.
Oh yeah. There's negative choices as well. Like, but it gives the full, for me, every time I've asked it, it pretty much gives options. So it doesn't say you should do this. It just gives options.
Okay, got it. Okay, interesting. What do you say, Adam?
Before we move on, because we have so many people stacking up, it's a fascinating topic. So Destiny, given that you've had a good experience with it asking kind of counseling questions, do you think you would rely on it for religious or spiritual questions also?
I have asked it so many religious questions too, but I'm a person who has used Google as well to ask questions for that, because currently I'm not going to a church yet, but anything that I don't understand, I do go to the internet for it. And I also, you know, pray about it, look into it, and test the word or whatever. And yeah. And mm-hmm. so, yeah.
I guess what I'm getting at, and I know we have to move on, Deb, as opposed to asking, like, what are the basic tenets of this religion, like information questions, if you had a question like, I'm struggling with prayer, you know, and these kind of thoughts keep interrupting me, I don't know a better way to pray, would you ask those counseling type questions, but about religious topics?
I've literally asked it, I think I've asked it, like, how could I pray for my enemies? I have. That's literally in my Gemini notes, because that is such a hard question for me sometimes. And it gave me a good example, because, yeah, it's hard sometimes to pray, so...
So, Destiny, real quickly, I just wanted to throw this in there, just since you are seems to be well versed in AI software. Have you thought about going? There's Catholic chat GPTs. I don't know if you realize that, but there's Catholic ones. So I think it's called. Yeah, I think it's called. One of them is Kate, CATE. GPT, Catholic GPTs out there that may, if you're going to explore religion, why not go to a Catholic AI source? What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, if there's one that knows every document that's ever been published in the church and all the church fathers and the Bible, that would be really convenient.
Yeah, and I believe even Father Chris Alar did a presentation recently about 6 months ago on this, Destiny, and he actually mentioned Kate GPT.
But I have to say, Deb, and I'm sorry to cut you off.
No,
I would not use it for personal spiritual advice or personal religious advice. I would use it as a research tool, maybe about church teaching, but never, I would go to a priest friend.
Totally agree. I agree with you. I was going to share that too. Destiny, thank you so much for calling in. I was just going to say, though, for information, like, you know, the rules and teachings of the church, the history of the church, the stuff like that is fascinating. But Adam is spot on about getting a really strong spiritual direction from a trusted priest or deacon or lay leader of the church. So guys, you hear the music. When we come back, more of your calls. Angel will be up next, then Jonathan, then Lou, and we have an open phone line just for you, 877-757-9424, talking all about AI today. Super fascinating episode of The Spirit World. Please join us. We'll be right back.
This is a Messy Family Minute with Mike and Alicia Hernan.
One of the secrets of a happy home is for spouses to prioritize each other over anyone else, even the children. We know this may sound counterintuitive, but the best way to be a great parent is to be an amazing spouse. We have to put the needs of our marriage above the wants of our children. What do children need more than anything else? They need a mother and father who are completely in love with each other and who provide a stable, safe place for that child to grow.
After all, where do these children come from? They are the fruit of your marriage. So don't get confused and think that your children can be the focus of your family. That is not good for them, and it's not good for you. Your marriage needs to be prioritized, and from that marriage, you'll be able to provide a loving home for your children, and you'll have the energy to give them the love and attention they need. Always remember, you are first a husband or wife, and second, you are a parent.
For more tools to improve your marriage, visit us at messyfamilyminute.org.
Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
We're talking about AI today on The Spirit World. We'd love for you to join us at 877-757-9424. We'll get back to the calls in just a moment. We also have all the Facebook and YouTube comments coming in as well. We'll get to those. But Adam, I think it's pretty safe to say that, you know, going for information, general information, using AI is helpful, right? It's helpful. I mean, if you can trace to the sources, some of the software apps, you can't even get to the source material of where it came from. That's disturbing. But if you have something like a Catholic GPT or something of that nature, and you wanted to cite, well, where is this in the catechism? Well, that's like, you know, an online encyclopedia, an online, you know, a book that can help you find those documented sources and the documented, I should say, material on the Catholic Church. No problem with that. But then what happens when you start using all of this technology to write your papers or to pass your tests or to do all that kinds, all those kinds of things where you're removing your own thought, you know, the way you process how to bring in information, how to store information, and how to then be able to share information. And if you're just relying on these sources, how do teachers even know if this is real or if you're really, you know, if you're learning, you're not learning, what are you leaning on? I mean, are we ever going to get to some kind of base, you know, kind of when you were talking about the guideposts, are we going to get to some kind of rules where you can go this far but can't cross over it in order, like if you're in education or something of that nature? Or is it just a free-for-all now that everybody just uses it?
Well, actually, here where I live in Pittsburgh, I've heard from professionals that work in education that this is actually a big topic. The boards of some of the colleges and universities here about how do we detect when a student has submitted stuff written by AI, you know, mm-hmm. researched and written by AI, and what do we do, you know, when we do, you know, how can we be sure and how are we going to deal with it? Because, you know, like, do you want a doctor you know, treating you that, that got through med school by relying on AI to get them through tests.
That's like, what I mean.
Like, no, there's certain careers where this could have really serious consequences. So, yeah, we need to actually do the work and actually know what we're doing, unless we're going to hand over things entirely, you know, to AI.
You know, I wonder if we should go back to where we go in person with oral examinations and testing. Do you know where people
some
actually...
Some schools are talking about doing that, yeah.
They are, okay.
Yeah, see, when I went through Canon Law School, they still do that, because in the church's history, that's the traditional way. So at the final for each class was mm-hmm. a Zoom call where you couldn't, like, pause and look down and, you know, pull things up. Like, and then your comps, of course, was in person.
So, and you had to actually speak the answers, mm-hmm, not write mm-hmm. the answers. See, I think that's the way we should go then. That's the way to really know that the people are absorbing
actually
the information.
What they're doing.
Yeah, actually know what they're talking about. Exactly. Okay, let's go to Angel in Southern Ohio on the EWTN app. Angel, thanks for waiting and welcome to the spirit world again. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm getting through like you. Thank you so much. We're warriors, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gab and Adam. I've had some really bad experiences with AI, and I was initially involved as a journalist out of Paris, France, in the 90s with the École des Chimères, with the Nobel laureate physicists and the sub, you know, physicists that were learning from them. And things were out of control then, but I've noticed myself on a personal level, it can be very frightening. Just things that I would tell my computer or my television to do, and it won't listen. It will take a mind of its own, and it'll say, I will say, for example, I would like to see EWTN Mass, and it will show me 15 horrifying examples, a woman pregnant with a dog, feces in the toilet, Chucky, and they'll say, this is your choices. And I will tell it, no, I didn't choose that. And they'll just keep, you know, feeding my mind with this negative stuff. And I literally had to sit down and tell it, get off my TV. And Google wrote me back and said, why didn't you like it? I said, this is out of control. Mm-hmm. And so if we have little kids or teenagers or even adults, we're putting way too much time into our computers. We're not using our brains. We're not using our senses and our abilities to be reflexive. Another example is I was in Myrtle Beach. I was next to a car that was one of these self-driven cars. Mm-hmm. Had a passenger in the back seat. Very frightening. This thing was slamming on the brakes, rushing to the lights. I was like, oh, my God, it doesn't have the human capabilities of knowing the reflexive capabilities that we have. Right. And I think it's dangerous.
Yeah. Angel, you know what? You're making some really good points. And let's get Adam to address this, because Adam, this goes along with what we're receiving on social media right now. Same thing that Angel's saying, that sometimes you can get drawn into AI. You ask a simple question, or Alexa, something of that nature. You're asking a simple question, and now you're getting all this other material that you didn't ask for, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know some people can kind of direct and target what they want, and I understand that. But for the general user, I mean, they're just signing on to these things, using it, and then up comes all this additional information that they did not ask for. But the problem is now it could. Angel makes a really good point. It could start to get you to think, well, maybe I should go and check this out, or maybe I should see where this came from, or why did this pop up on my screen? So now all that unhealthy curiosity starts playing in.
Yeah, so, and the other thing is, we have to remember, you know, these AIs, at least initially, are created by people. They're going to get to the point where they're going to write themselves, and they're going to write better, quote-unquote, better versions of themselves, and that's where it'll really take off, but that's a few years off, hopefully. But we have to remember, the companies that wrote these mm-hmm. are the same companies that have engineered advertising in social media to grab and hold and control attention and manipulate people. And there's an agenda. And so if the AI is written by the company that has an agenda, that's a profit-driven company that makes money on advertising, and they're experts at human manipulation, right. And they are, which is why people are addicted to their phones, the AI is coming from the same companies. So we need to be very careful about bias and assuming this thing necessarily has our best interest at heart. It completely does not have our best interest at heart. It has its creator's interests, which is to gather information on us, feed it back in for targeted advertising purposes, and to hold and control our attention. So, you know, this benevolent assumption that it's somehow a good thing, I think we have to be really careful about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Angel brought up some great points. Thank you so much, Angel. We've got some pretty much full phone lines, and you're just going to free one line there. So if somebody wants to jump in real quickly at 877-757-9424, we're talking about AI today. We're going to go to Jonathan, another first-time caller from Toronto, Canada, on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Jonathan. Welcome to the Spirit World.
Hi, how are you? I hope great conversation. I guess my question is, Yuval Harari, in A Brief History of Humankind, in his follow-up book, he talks about humans evolving into a super species where we're kind of molding with machines. I know it sounds crazy, but is AI, and what does the Pope say about this, is it a threat to humanity where it's going to be able to engineer us into a different type of being, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, so what you're talking about, Jonathan, is something that's usually called transhumanism. And ultimately, it's kind of a desire to be immortal in some sense. So, and if you can't achieve it biologically, to have your mind completely encoded in a computer and achieve some weird kind of immortality that way. Yes, the intermediate steps, like we already see this with the companies trying to develop chips inserted into the brain that increase the bandwidth of the input-output to the machine. Like right now, if I want to type a letter, my fingers have to touch the keys in order. It's incredibly slow. And a computer could do it, of course, in the snap of fingers. It could write 10 pages because it's not limited in that input-output. So that's what they're working on first, is a chip so that we can, at the speed of thought, interact with machines instead of stringing words together like we're doing now in a conversation or typing them out. So it's not strange at all. In fact, you know, we're, as a civilization, we're experimenting with that right now. Now, will it completely change us? I would argue that to in a sense, we've already been changed by the phones and the internet and the social media. At least socially, we've been changed. Now, you know, biologically, we're basically the same, of course.
But my issue is genetic engineering of the whole DNA, where we're creating different types, where we're engineering our humanity out of who we are, and we're creating maybe super beings. We're creating people that are extremely intelligent. So AI, with their knowledge of medicine and taking it a step forward, you see us just genetically changing, not so much with machinery, but machinery and genetics. Do you feel a threat to that? Like, think about it. They're already, you know, doing, you know, you could sort of create things now in a lab. Do you think we're going to be modified? Oh, we're not recognizable in the next 500 years.
Yeah, they're doing it already with babies, Adam.
Yeah, I think so, Jonathan. I think, you know, on the order of centuries, I think it's kind of inevitable. As we know more and more about genetics, and it's almost an irresistible thing. Like, if you can do it, somebody's going to do it. There might be laws that limit what we do with science, you know, based on morality and ethics in some countries, but in other countries, not going to have those, and they're going to do it. So yeah, when AI gets to the point that it knows genetics that well, and we have mapped the human genome already, and it can tweak it, you know. But here's the thing, Jonathan, we're a long way from understanding. It's not as simple as this one gene, you turn it on and you're smart.
Right.
There's a whole host of genetic markers that all together lead to a particular type of intelligence in a person.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Before I go, there's just one question. You've answered it really nicely, but just so you know, I plugged into AI, said, can you do advanced level advanced mathematics? Can you do advanced level PhD in engineering? And it said, yes, we would get through those courses in a second. I mean, that to me is profound. Mm-hmm. Profound. They could do that in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is some good. Let's say you're in a third world country, you need to build a bridge. Well, you could sort of have AI model that and maybe have some other person overlook that construction. So there are some positives, I think, to it.
Oh, tons.
So anyway,
tons.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, tons of positives, Jonathan, of course. It's probably going to lead to amazing advances in cancer treatment and many other diseases.
Right.
Absolutely. We're not saying it's bad. I think it's just worth reflecting on it as we're living in history right now.
And Jonathan, I would, Jonathan, real quickly, I would encourage you to look up at Vatican.va, Antiqua et Nova, what Pope Francis wrote. It's a long, long paper, but it is very interesting, and he covers all sides of it. You know, the moral implications, everything. So you, I think you would really appreciate it. You should look it up. It's online.
Thank you so much. Thanks for everything, and great show. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. We're going to get to Lou in just a moment. Lou, hold on. Don't go anywhere. We've got a lot of comments coming in on social media. I just wanted to cover them as they came in because you guys are sending them in, and that is so sweet of you. So we have, let's see, Teresa says, love you both. Well, we love you, Teresa. Thank you so very much. Sochiel says, I really needed to hear this topic. I read some of Pope Francis's teaching on this, and it has been in my mind all attention. And yes. So, Sheil, thank you so much. Amazing. Christopher says, I'm learning so much. Adam is a great teacher. We know that's why he's on the spirit world, Christopher. So thank you for noticing. Yes, he is a phenomenal teacher. Lavance in Amarillo, Texas says, this is the best show we've ever had, and she loves listening to it. Thank you. God bless all of you. Teresa's, oh, this is interesting. Teresa says, my breast cancer was overlooked by the human eye reading my scan. AI would have picked it up earlier. We need to incorporate it in healthcare as a backup. That's exactly what we're saying. You know, use for medical advancements, things of that nature, for helping countries, you know, to advance and to build and to construct things. Of course. I mean, that makes sense, right, Adam, to have advanced, you know, technology to be able to help advanced civilization, of course. But then you have the human element and the body soul composite. What do you do about the soul, guys? What do you do about the soul? And that's something that Father Chris Aylar talked about in his presentation 6 months ago on AI. Let's go to Lou in Queens, New York, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hey, Lou, welcome.
Hi, welcome. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I'm totally against AI. You know, the more we use artificial intelligence and computers and programming, the more they're dumbing down society. People are not using their brains any longer. They're relying on a small group of think tanks and controlling the information that's out there. And that is bad, especially used by the military, you know. And, yes, I understand it'll help, you know, medical advancement and all that. But you know what? God created us to suffer also. He didn't say we're not going to have tribulation. So what is the point of creating all this stuff that on one end, yeah, it's positive, but on the much larger scheme of things is very negative because people are not using their brains anymore. They're relying on other people to think for them. They're not just using it for research, which research was always done, okay? And research takes time and development. And there's a pace to human life and existence that has to go through its development on a normal basis, not through an artificial means of computers. It's totally wrong, and it's totally dangerous. You put that into the... When they started the Manhattan Project and developed the atomic bomb, for instance, it was never meant to be used. It was just to be used as a deterrent for war. And what happened? We used it. And we're on the verge of World War III at any moment because of why? Because we're fighting over land, and we're fighting about domination and just pride. Basically, it comes down to pride. And this just moves things along even faster to self-destruction. That's my viewpoint. I'm sorry to disagree with people saying that it's great, but it's not a great thing.
Well, Lou, this is why we do programs like this. You're entitled to that opinion, and we welcome it, and we encourage. That's what we want to have, is these healthy discussions so we can learn and grow together. So you're very passionate about it. And, you know, Lou brings up a really good point, Adam. You know, every time I see all of this with, you know, the superhuman race, and we can get, you know, we can go faster than everybody else, and we can have the best, you know, kind of technology for all sorts of conveniences, we're still going to die. Yeah. And so we're missing something there. We're getting so smart, and are we so smart that we don't realize that we're going to die? I mean, mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. How do we reconcile that, Adam?
I think we're going to probably continue to develop this, and we're going to come out the other side losing most of the professions like law, possibly most of medicine. And by the way, there was a study that supports what Lou is saying. There was a study on radiologists, doctors who study, you know, scans of the body. And they had a group that used AI mm-hmm. and a group that didn't. And the ones that used AI, yes, it was more accurate. But then those doctors, when they operated on their own without AI, became less accurate than they were when they started.
Wow.
So they stopped using those faculties, and they basically got weaker in that area because mm-hmm. they were out of practice. They didn't have to look as hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so they lost their edge.
Mm. Interesting. Well, have you heard that a lot of people, a lot of influencers around the world are saying now that, you know, we don't need God anymore, because now that we have AI, we have all the answers we are ever going to need.
Yeah. So, wow. So in the minute or so we have, I was looking into this, and there's about 40 to 45 new small religious movements crop up in the United States every year. Many of them in recent years are centered around worshiping technology or having transhumanism, posthumanism themes in them. So yeah, like some people are really turning to it this way. And as a final thing, people ask me all the time, are the demons running AI, or demons somehow using AI and literally speaking to people through the computers? From the stuff I've seen, no, I don't think so. I think that there's plenty of dark stuff on the internet, and these things draw from the entire internet. So if you ask leading questions, it'll feed that kind of stuff back to you, and it'll do it so well, it'll seem scary and compelling. I do say the humans behind writing the code sometimes maybe are into dark stuff, and right. They may inject some bias into it that way. That's more of what I'd be concerned about, mm-hmm. is the demons have influence over people, so those people have influence over AI.
Right. Thank you, Lou. We appreciate all the comments and all of the questions coming in, and also the responses from this show. We can tackle this again in a couple months, because I'm sure we're just going to have some new things that are popping up that we can discuss. We hope you got a lot out of it. Please share this episode with some friends. Any final comments, Adam? Because I still go back to this. You know me, Adam. As the older I get, I'm kind of streamlining my life. You know, sometimes we can be so smart on one side, but then we're so stupid on the other, because we just don't realize. I mean, we just have to either accept that God is real, okay, or not. I mean, it's going to be very difficult in the next decades to be saying, you know, oh, I don't know where I stand on this, because AI is telling me this, but then I've been taught this in catechism class. We've got a real problem. I think we've got a lot of work we've got to do, especially in the church, to get out there and to really spread the gospel message, so people can really find a balance. What do you say?
AI is not God, and AI cannot truly simulate God, because God is beyond human understanding. And so you cannot encounter God through AI by definition, because you are merely encountering humanity through AI. And so it's not the place to go to fill that space in us that yearns for God. It just will never do that for us. And I think we'll realize that eventually, but I would say don't even turn to it now for those mm-hmm. things.
Right. And always remember, we're body, soul, composite. So focus on the soul. Get your soul to heaven, please. That's the most important thing. Okay, information's great, but getting your soul to heaven is much better. Adam, great, I believe, great episode of The Spirit World. We got to thank our wonderful show team. Thank you. You guys did such a great job. Tim and Libby and Carol, thank you so much. We're produced by the Guadalupe Radio Network, heard on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So thank you to all the affiliates that carry The Spirit World live. Thank you so much. Thank you to all the social media streams. You guys are great. Keep the chats going. And that'll do it, you guys. One more thing. You can always email us. If you have a comment, email us. tsw@grnonline.com. Okay, for Adam Bly, I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.